I'm turning this morning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, and verse 24. Luke, chapter 13, verse 24. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. And our subject for this morning is strive to enter in at the straight gate. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. And for the background, we learn of so many discussions between Christ and the people. And this question that somebody asked, he said, are there few to be saved? Somebody asked Christ this question. We are not told who the person is. There's nothing about his identity. But from the account which we just read, we know that he's one of the Pharisees. I know the Pharisees are always trained to believe that because they are children of Abraham, they are the only ones that salvation is for. And therefore, the Gentiles, or the uncircumcised, as they used to call them, there was no hope for them for salvation. And salvation was always for the children of Abraham, which means the Jews. In any case, whoever that person is, the question is a deep and very important question. But much more deeper and much more important is the answer that Christ gave, which is going to be the subject for our thinking this morning. He said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For the question that the young man asked, it can easily be answered in the Bible. If you turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, let's quickly turn there. Matthew chapter 7, verse 14. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, are few therefore be that find it. Christ is saying that because narrow is the way to life is very narrow, and very few find it. And the way to destruction is so wide that a lot of people go through it. And we can see it in our days. Look at us now. How many are we here? And go to these churches who are lying to them. See thousands of people going there. This tells you that the way to life is very narrow and very few. That is why Christ is saying that you have to strive to enter in and enter at the narrow gate, not on the wide, not from the wide gate. And also in Genesis chapter 7, you can also turn there quickly. Verse 1, he said, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by seven, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and the female, of fowls also of the air by seven, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in. Listen to this. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Now let's go to verse 13 again. He said, in the same day entered Noah, 1, and Shem, 2, and Ham, 3, and Japheth, 4. And the wife of Noah, making it 5. And then he said, the 3 wives of the sons with them, they were only 8. Only 8 people were saved from the flood. Out of the whole people who were living at that time, only 8 were saved. So the question this young man asked, whether they are few to be saved, it is clear in the Bible that very few people will be saved. And apart from the biblical proof, let's look at the world now in our own country. Let's see how people are treating the word of God. Go to any church now, this Sunday. Listen to what they are telling them about prosperity. Nobody is talking about salvation. So it's not clear that very few will be saved, as the young man asked. But like I said, his question is not our issue. Our issue now is the answer that Christ gave. But we have the same example as Sodom and Gomorrah, where only Lot was saved. Now the answer, Christ did not answer only the man, but he answered both him and those around him. And he was telling them about their own duty when it comes to salvation. In effect, Christ is saying that don't think of what people are saying or how you see it. You strive to enter in. While striving to enter, you come to understand whether there are few to be saved or there are more to be saved. This is why I always say that you can't just stand outside and make arguments about salvation. You have to strive to enter. In striving to enter, you come to understand whether you saved yourself or you were saved by grace. Whether salvation is by works or by grace, you have to strive to enter. You can't just sit in sin and in worldliness and expect grace to come to you. You have to strive. It is like, as we read in the account, a pearl or something very valuable hidden somewhere, and when you are looking for it, you see how you struggle, how you labor to find out where it is. So this strive word means to agonize, to be serious about what you are looking for. You are looking to enter into heaven, the most important thing in life. So why won't you be serious? Why won't you strive? But think that you can just sit there and then the salvation will come to you. Even though there isn't much you can do, there's a part for you to play. There's a duty. You have a duty. God has made the word available. You know how he has preserved his word up to today. He has sent his own son to come and die to save us from our sins. This sermon has been preached all over the world. It is for you to believe and ask for God to forgive you your sins, and then you will be saved. From Christ's account in the passage, we learn that first, he said the gate is straight, which is narrow, very, very narrow. And like I said earlier on, the way to life is narrow, and very few find it. And the work is great. The work is great. The work of salvation is a very great, great work. See how it had to take only Christ, God himself, to come down and die before our sins will be forgiven us. It tells you that it's a very great work. And number 3, the enemies of our souls are many. There are so many enemies of our souls who are making it impossible for us to obtain salvation. The devil is there. The world is there. Our own selves is there. Friends, families, and so many circumstances in life are there as enemies to our souls that make it difficult for us to enter into the kingdom of God. That is why Christ is saying that we must be up and doing. We must strive and be serious before we can enter into the heaven. And he's saying that we should not always think about other religions, what people are saying. The Muslims are saying this, the Buddhists are saying this, Latter days are saying, the Jehovah's are saying, but you personally, your duty is to strive to enter. And from verse 25 to 30, We are not turning there, but you see that we are warned of a time when the master of the house shall come, shall rise and shut the door, and that will be the end. Mercy of God is now available to us, and it won't be there forever and ever. There will be a time that you will seek to know the truth and you can never know the truth. It will be too late. It happened during Noah's time, when Noah was preaching and people were saying that he was mad. When the day came, Christ, God himself came to shut the ark. It wasn't Noah who shouted. Christ shouted from outside. So no one could go to God for the key to enter. It was too late. People came and they were knocking and they were striving at that time, but it was too late. So there's a time that it will be too late for you to enter. That is why Christ is saying that the command is that you should strive to enter. Now, we are in the last days of grace and mercy. And like I said, a day is coming when the patience of God will run out. God has been too patient for us, and the patience will run out one day, and that will be the end. So what are you sitting there for? What are you waiting for? What do you want to see before you believe what the Bible is saying? That believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he has done on Calvary alone as your hope and as your passport to heaven. What are you waiting for? What do you want to see? Do you want to see something like some power come to you? No, that is not available to us now. The word is there for us. The word is being expounded. We are preaching to you. And it is through the word that you must repent and believe, and you will be saved. When that day comes, it will be too late to repent. And those who are seeking for him now, that day will be a day of their reward. According to Proverbs chapter 11 verse 18. We are not turning there, but you can write it down and check about it later. Like I said, the door of mercy will be shut one day, and that is the day we will see the wrath of the Lamb. Revelation 6 verse 16. It describes the wrath of the Lamb. That day, Christ came earlier on as a lamb to be slaughtered. The next time he's coming, he's not coming as a lamb, he's coming as a judge to execute judgment. And there will be no mercy. The mercy is what we have now. This is the time for mercy. And at that time, when the door is shut, it will be too late for any mercy. Now, a time is coming when first it will be too late to repent. Don't believe what the Roman Catholics are saying about purgatory. That when you die, your parents or people who are living can pay some money, and your sins will be taken, or somebody's righteousness will be credited to you. It is not true. Once you die, it is appointed unto man to die. After death, there's judgment. There's nothing again. So if you don't repent now, it will be too late for you to repent at a point in time. And then it will be too late for you to believe. At the time that the people were knocking at the ark, they had now believed what Noah was saying, that the flood was coming, but it was too late to believe. Noah couldn't open the ark because the key was with God. And that is the same thing we are going through now. We have the mercy of God running now. It will be a time when there will be no mercy again. It will be too late to believe. It will be too late to be anxious about salvation. Now, people are not anxious about salvation. I will talk about it later on. People are not at all. They are thinking about how they can make this life. Yesterday, I was listening to some pastor on radio, and he was saying that when God told Abraham to go and possess the land, when even our Sunday school children know that Canaan represents heaven, he was saying that because he said they should go and possess the land, it means we should look for things in this world, not in heaven. You see how people are twisting the word of God. That is why I'm saying that the salvation, if you don't strive, you will be deceived. People are preaching all sorts of things. He was saying that because God said they should go and possess the land, it means this is what we should look for, not in heaven. And it will be too late for you to be anxious about salvation. It will also be too late for you to long for heaven. Like I'm saying, people are saying that they don't want to think about heaven. They are thinking about this world. But then they will realize what they were thinking about, what they were spending all their time on, will give them nothing. Christ said on that day, no stone will be left unturned. So why are you striving to gain things in this world when a time will come when you can't even use them. It will be too late for you to believe at that time. Now is the time, and people are refusing to enter. A time will come when they want to enter, and it will be too late. We have an account of the Lazarus and the rich man. In hell, the man now believed what people were preaching, and he was insisting that people go from there to preach to his brothers and sisters. Then they will believe. And he was told that no, even if people go from here, they will still not believe. They must believe those who are preaching now. You must believe what you are hearing now. A time will come when it will be too late. There's a quote here that I want to read to you. It says, "Hell is nothing but truth known too late." When we talk of hell, it is nothing than knowing the truth too late. It will be too late for you to know the truth when you are in hell. You have to know the truth now. Now these days, the reason why we must strive is that now, according to the passage, we should have to set our minds in things above, not on things in this world. But now, what are we seeing? Everything is about money, it's about position and greatness, fame, and so on. Now look at our young boys. Now today is Sunday, go to the betting centers. Go and see them. They are there in their hundreds betting. Everybody wants to make money. Everybody. Tune to your radio or TV. Talented kids. Young children, they are teaching them how to be famous, how to become a star. And it is amazing that parents are allowing their children, and they are happy to see their children going there to be trained to become famous, either a musician or a footballer or a film star. Things about praying, about believing in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, about holy living and being acquainted with Christ is deeply ridiculed. People actually laugh at you when they see you going to church, spending all your time. Also, so you don't have anything to do. Spending all your time in church. People are surprised to see people doing that. Those things are frowned upon. They are despised. They are ridiculed. And even if people want to talk about it, they talk about it very cheaply. They don't talk about it with seriousness. But go and hear them talking about money, how to make money. That is why we have all this Sakawa and all what the young boys are doing. Everybody wants to have money and buy cars and lead expensive lives. Things about God, nobody wants to hear. We live in a world that is very, 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 very serious. Very, very, very dangerous. But a change is coming one day, and it will be very, very soon, from all indications. Last week, I was going through a book in my bookshop about Bible prophecies and their fulfillment. And when you read that book, you start to shiver. All of them have been fulfilled. In fact, we live in the very last days. Very soon, Christ will come, according to the Bible prophecies. So what are you waiting for? Do you want to sit down and wait until the time that it will be too late to repent, too late to believe? I pray that none of you will fall into that. That you come to believe as you are hearing the word now, and then to enter in at the straight gate. Now let's come to that word, to enter in at the straight gate. We know that Jesus himself is the gate by which we can enter. And to enter through Jesus Christ, as we have always learned, is not by works. It's not by anything you do, but by believing in him. Believing that his death on the cross is your hope of salvation. And the word strife here, like I said, is like to agonize, or like we are being urged to carry on, to be serious, like the athletes and the footballers. When you see them training every morning, you see them running up and down just for one competition. See how they strive because of one competition. And what do they give them? A cap or a shield or some small money. You are striving to enter into heaven forever and ever, where you will be with God, where God is. Which one should be more serious? Is it about things in this world or about things in the kingdom? So we are being able to carry on. It's like an endeavor to strive despite all distractions, because there will be distractions. In this world, there will be so many distractions that if you are not careful, even to read your Bible or to pray will be difficult. There are so many distractions. Our traditions, our culture, our lifestyle, if you are not careful, all these things will draw you back. But always trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by using the Word. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So it is the Word that you must trust in, and then Christ as your captain. He will lead you there. Believe in Him and trust in Him and commit your life to Him, and He will leave you there. Be careful not to be among those who will come later and will never be able to enter. The time is now. Mercy is now. So you have to seek for it now before it becomes too late. Now there's another word that is very interesting. Christ said some people will desire to enter and will not be able to enter. That word desire. And you know he's talking about a gate which is desirable to enter. Why is the gate desirable to enter? Why would people desire to enter? So the fact that we seek to enter, it proves that there is a desire. There must be a desire to enter. There also has to be a reason why you must enter by the straight gate and not by any other gate. Some people will say, oh, all roads lead to Accra. You can be a Muslim, you can be whatever. And no, there is only one way. Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. So there's a reason. And there's also a motive why men should aim to enter. There's a reason, there's a desire, there's a motive why men should seek to enter. Like I said, the gate represents Christ. And why is it desirable to enter? First, because it is a gate of refuge. It is a gate of refuge. We are all sinners, and we've all sinned against God, and the wrath of God is pursuing us, is chasing us, until we enter into Christ, until we go and give our lives to Christ. Otherwise, we are being chased by God. And I will explain this later, the gate of refuge. It is also a gate of a home. Christ said, I'm going to my Father's place. There are so many mansions. I'm going to prepare a place for you. So the gate leads to a home. First, it leads to a refuge. And then secondly, to a home. But today, we'll talk about the refuge. But when there's time, another time, we can talk about the home. It is the gate of the city of refuge. The gospel of Jesus Christ, in fact, it is intended as a refuge for people who are being chased by the wrath of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or the sword which is chasing them. And once you are outside Christ, the sword is chasing you and will chase you and chase you and chase you until it drives you to hell. Not until you come to Christ, the wrath of God is chasing you all over your time and your everything you do in this world. You are being chased. The only escape is a simple faith in Jesus Christ. Believe in Him, and the sword which is chasing you will turn back, because now you have gone to be in Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, this city of refuge is there, which is pointing us to Christ. In the city of refuge in those days, the Levites were descendants of Levi, one of the sons of Jacob. And unlike the other tribes, that tribe, they didn't have a permanent place. When they were coming from Egypt, when they were crossing to Canaan, when they got there, that tribe, that particular tribe, God did not give them a particular place, a territory, that this is your territory. Instead, they were set aside for God's special people who were dedicated to the rituals and the sacrament duties in the temples. They were to serve God, like they were the priests. So their duty was to serve God. So God did not give them a territory of their own. In fact, they were chosen during the time of the wilderness, especially after the golden calf. When they built the golden calf and they disobeyed God and God was angry, those people, they were the only people that God found them to be upright. And there was a prophecy about them in Genesis chapter 49 from verse 5 to 7. There was a prophecy
about them. You can later on look through. And you can also read Exodus chapter 32, verse 26 to 29, where it explains how these people were chosen to act as God's people. And because they were not given a territory like the other tribes, they were given 48 cities. This is also recorded in Numbers chapter 37, verse 5. They were given 48 cities. And these cities, they were designated as cities of six of them. Out of the 48, six of them were designated as cities of refuge. So that in these cities, if someone killed somebody mistakenly, as now we call manslaughter, you know, we have manslaughter and murder. Manslaughter, even though you have killed somebody, you didn't kill the person intentionally. So if you kill somebody unintentionally, you can run to that city. And once you go there, what the Bible called the avenger of blood, which is the person or the family, the member of where the person who was killed is from, they'll be chasing you because you have killed their relatives. They'll be chasing you. But once you enter into that city, that is it. Nobody can enter or nobody will bring you. They were set for that. But it's not that when you go, the moment you go, they will take you in, they will find out whether your case was murder or manslaughter, depending on the object you used. If you use an iron bar, obviously you intend to kill the person. Let's say if you hit him and by mistake he dies, it will be manslaughter, isn't it? And then they will take you in. They will take you and you have to stay there for a period until the chief priest at the time dies before you can come back. If you come back, if you come out of that city and they find you, they can kill you and they won't be guilty. Because you must stay there. You must stay in that city. And then no one can come there to kill you, and there will be protection over you. The moment you leave that city, there will be no protection. The avenger can meet you anywhere and strike you and kill you because you have killed their relative. And that is how we are. We have sinned against God. And the avenger of blood, which is the wrath of God, is pursuing us. And we must run to Christ alone. That is the only place we can go for protection. So now let's see some of the points about this, the cities. Numbers 35 verse 1 says that the cities were specifically designated. Three on each side of the Jordan. Three here, according to Joshua 20 verse 7 and 8. They were designated three here and three here. So that wherever you are, there will be one near you that you can run to whenever you are in trouble. And number two, they were accessible to everyone. Everyone, according to Numbers 35, verse 14 to 15. They were open to all people. Either you are an Israelite or you are a stranger who is living there. You are entitled to run there when you are in trouble. And then number three, not everyone could be accepted in the cities. Like I said, only manslayers, only those who have committed not murder, but manslayer, which is like you kill unintentionally. It's only those ones who will be accepted. Like I said, when you use an object that is likely to kill somebody, it is murder. If you strike the person unintentionally and the person dies, it is manslaughter. But when you go, the elders will determine your case. If it's manslaughter, they will let you in, and no one can touch you. Number four, one had to stay in the city to remain safe. If you go in there, like I said, and you come out, that you are going to wherever you are going, and the people meet you, they can kill you, and they will never be blamed. You have to stay there to be safe. And one had to reach there to be safe. When you are running there, and just before you get there, the avenger catches you and kills you. He's right to kill you. You have to reach there, enter in, before you can be saved. And this is what I said, it points out to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now let's see our Lord's church as compared to the city of refuge. Number one, in the same way as that is the only place you can go and to be saved, here salvation is found only in Jesus Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. Salvation is found only in Jesus Christ. Whereas in their days there were six cities, Christ built only one church, and you must enter into that church to be saved. You can't just go and enter into any church and say that you'll be saved. Salvation is by Christ alone. He is church alone is where salvation is. You can't be a Buddhist and say that you'll be saved through the Buddhism, or a Hinduist, or a Muslim, or any of the cults, or any of the fake churches. You can't be there and say that you'll be saved. You must be only in the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that church is not in a building. It comprises of all genuine believers all over the world, people who have come to believe in Jesus Christ and committed their lives to Him. That is the church. And that is the church you must join. You must join by believing and confessing your sins to Him, and you become a member. And once you become a member, you are saved from the wrath of God, which chases everybody. Everybody has sinned against God. You cannot join by any other religion. And in Matthew chapter 15, verse 13, Christ said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be uprooted." So it means that if you are not part of that genuine church, and you are part of any other church, you can never get salvation. You don't expect to be saved. You must be in the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then number two, in the same way as the cities were accessible to everyone, the Lord's church is also open to everyone. "Come unto me, all ye that labor." Everybody is invited. Come. And then He has promised that you'll be saved. In Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2, He said that people from all the nations will stream to it. Talking about Christ. All the nations, no matter where you are from, you are welcome to come. And when Christ gave the Great Commission, He said, "Go unto all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." He didn't say, "Go and preach to a few people." He said, "To all creation," which means everyone is invited. And that is what is being done now, isn't it? The kingdom of God is being preached all over the world. Everywhere you go, even now, the internet, you hear about Christ and the gospel. Everyone is hearing the gospel. So it is for you to either believe and go to heaven, or disbelieve and then go to hell. Number three, not everyone can be part of the church. Because we learn from the story that Christ said, some people, the gate will shut them off. They will seek to enter and they can't enter. Why? You wonder, because He said everyone can come. Why is it that some people will not be saved? Because they were not willing to meet the condition. Like I said, the condition is that you must be a manslayer first. You must run to the city and then you'll be saved. That is the condition. If you kill somebody and you say, "Oh, there's a city there, but I'm just sitting here," and the person comes to kill you, then it is your own fault. You must run to the city. Christ has invited everybody, but you must believe before you'll be saved. You can't say because He has invited everybody, you are part of that everybody, and therefore you are saved. No. It is those who will believe are the ones who shall be saved. And we know that we in Acts chapter 2 from verse 7, He said, "God added to the church after they have met the conditions, after repentance and belief and confession." These are the conditions. Repentance, belief, and confession. You must repent. You must know that you are a sinner. You were born in sin. There's nothing you can do about your sin. Believe that Christ's death on the cross is your only hope. And that is your hope of going to heaven. Believe in that. That when He was dying for you, for His blood to cleanse you from your sins. Believe in that and then confess. You can't just believe and stay there. those who the masquerades, when they go there, they tell them what they have done. You have to confess your sins to God, that you have sinned against him, and you are believing that Christ has died to save you, and therefore he should forgive you of all your sins and cleanse you and makes you a new creature. And he has promised that he will do it. So it is only those who will believe, not those who will sit down and determine on their own terms how they want to come to Christ. You have to come to Christ on his own terms. That is the only way you'll be saved. And also, point four, we have to be in the church to be saved. Remember, I said that if you go there and they take you in, the condition is that you stay there. You stay there until the chief priest of the town dies. That's the only time you can come out. When you come out, nobody will touch you. You have met the condition. In the same way, if you come into Christ, you must stay there. Stay with Christ to be saved. You can't just come to Christ and then you are not even so committed to him. You say you are a Christian. Coming to church becomes a problem. We have to beg you before you come to church. Are you striving? If you really, really know what you are looking for, that there's nothing important in this world as your salvation, you will run to church. You will run to God's house. Whenever you hear about Christ, you will shiver. You come to hear what is being said about Christ. And you will stay in there. Staying in there means you will be punctual in church. You will take everything serious in church. It should be your number one priority. That's how to stay in. You can't just say, I've confessed my sins to Christ and therefore I can stay home. No. You have to come. Because he's feeding you every day and building you up. Preparing you for heaven. So you must stay in the church to be saved. Until the chief priest dies, you can never, never, never come out. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Paul said that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we might be saved. It is only Christ, and you must stay with him to be saved. You must remain in the church. In Philippians chapter 2 verse 12, he said, after the Lord has added to the church, you see, they must continue to be faithful in the service of God. You must continue to serve God. God has saved you. He saves you to also save other people. So once you come to believe that you are trusting in Christ for your salvation, you come and then you remain in the church. As it is done in the city of refuge, you must remain in the city. You can't just come out. You must remain in the city to be saved and to be have salvation. Now, as we come to the almost to the conclusion, let's go back to Luke chapter 13. And then from verse 23, then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When one, the master of the house, is risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught us in your streets. You see, a time will come when you will think that because you came to church or you went to hear some sermon somewhere, so you qualify to be saved. And Christ will say, I don't know you. Have you truly believed? Have you truly repented? Have you truly confessed your sins to him? That is the condition. If you haven't done that, you can never, never say that salvation is yours. So the question today is, have you repented? Have you believed? Have you confessed your sins to Christ? This is the only condition. Have you done that? If you haven't done that, and once you are not dead, there's hope. But a time will come when it will be too late for you to repent and believe and confess. The mercy of God is available now. Come, turn unto him. Christ said, those that come in unto me, I will in no wise turn them away. He has promised, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is coming from Christ, who is God himself, who can never lie, he can never fail you. So have you done this? Have you repented of your sins? Have you seen the need? Is salvation your number one priority? Are you anxious of salvation? Do you want to go to heaven? Or you just want to make it in this world? The decision is yours. But Christ is saying, the command is so simple. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. And he has promised that once you come, he will save you. This is the time to do it. Today, let the day be that day. If you haven't, let the day be a day of your repentance and belief, and confess your sins to God, and he will forgive you. Don't wait until it is too late. Don't wait until the door is shut. Once the door is shut, that will be the end, and there's no chance for anybody again. Let's pray. Our gracious and merciful Father, Father, we thank you for thy word this morning. We thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our city of refuge. Oh, Father, bless these things in the hearts of all those who are assembled here today, and even for those who will listen to them later on the internet. Let thy word go out powerfully and turn hearts. Let people believe in thy word and turn unto you for salvation. And as thou hast promised, thou will never leave them nor forsake them. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you once again as we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.